W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden goes to Tampa today to talk reproductive rights a week before Florida's six-week abortion ban begins.
Biden campaign officials say he'll again blame former President Donald Trump for abortion bans since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. The Biden campaign says the president will draw a contrast to Trump, who they say is bragging about the role he played in appointing justices to the Supreme Court to overturn Roe. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
Testimony resumes today in Donald Trump's hush money trial. Former longtime National Enquirer publisher David Pecker expected to tell about his efforts to help Trump stifle unflattering stories during the 2016 campaign. In Becker County, northwest Minnesota, State Senator Nicole Mitchell is in custody on a burglary charge, arrested inside a home. Her connection to the homeowner not clear. Mitchell is a meteorologist who previously worked for the Weather Channel. This is ABC News. In Southern California,
let's go build that railroad.
Hammering in ceremonial railroad stakes, political, union, and business leaders from both Nevada and California kicked off construction of what's designed to be the first true high-speed rail in the U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg.
This train will move people at 186 miles an hour between Southern California and Las Vegas in just over 2 hours.
It'll run along a notoriously clogged highway between L.A. and Las Vegas, set to debut before the 2028 L.A. Olympics. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Madonna's penchant for starting shows really, really late has produced yet another lawsuit against the superstar.
Concertgoers in D.C. have filed a class action lawsuit saying Madonna's shows there in December started 2 hours late, it was uncomfortably hot in the arena, and she lip-synced her song, all making for an unpleasant experience, and they want compensation. This follows a similar suit by the same lawyers in New York. Her lawyers are trying to get the original suit thrown out.
ABC's Jason Nathanson. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny.
I wonder what Matt Damon's mom would say when it comes to teaching science to little kids.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
And there she is, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Welcome to Busted Pencils. Nancy, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's great to see you. It's great to be here.
Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Luke, I'm just going to say it again. The real problem here was that goofy in-season soccer tournament that they had. That threw everything
That's
off.
Not, what are you talking about? That was December off. Basketball. You just couldn't figure out the rules.
You're exactly
Todd.
Right. There are goofy rules I couldn't figure out. I don't like them.
You would not do well with driving on the left-hand side of the road.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely
you would
not.
Just yeah. start freak freaking out. Yeah.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A little sunshine this morning, then gradually becoming mostly cloudy with an isolated shower or thundershower possible by mid to late afternoon today. Our high 65, the wind out of the west at 15 to 25. Tonight, clear 32. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and cooler with a high near 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 50.
Mino and the Mayor.
Terry Barr
yes.
from Slice of Wisconsin is standing by. Hi, Terry.
Hi, guys.
How are you, Terry?
I feel like I should be a referee right now.
I just heard to keep you waiting.
Should have been here an hour and a half ago.
Absolutely, when it was really hard.
Oh,
right.
No.
Little blood on the floor, but we're okay.
Yeah, we're okay.
We got a cleaning crew here.
Good. Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app. and the mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Rough hands, dirty boots, and farming roots. It's all we know. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, we've got some windy weather on the way for a Tuesday and a little bit of a chance of severe weather that could develop for southeast Wisconsin. Come on in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke. Yeah, in the La Crosse area, you're looking for partly cloudy skies on this Tuesday. 60 are expected high, but the winds are going to be fairly strong out of the west-northwest up to 20 miles per hour. The Madison area, partly cloudy skies, 68 the expected high, but again, still noticeable winds. And then for the southeast quadrant of Wisconsin, most of the day should be partly cloudy, 67 your expected high, but you're going to have to be on the lookout starting later this afternoon into the evening hours. Thunderstorms are possible. They're saying there is a slight risk of severe weather in southeast Wisconsin. Winds will be gusty out of the west-southwest, 17 miles per hour. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, will be along to paint a little bit better and clearer picture on what's coming our way weather-wise. We're catching up with John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. You're used to seeing farm equipment in fields, but what about with the nation's capital as a backdrop? It's coming up the first week of May. Details on the way. And we're also focused in on that last mile in rural communities. Trying to get them connected with broadband internet is not an easy or inexpensive process. Stephanie Hoff's going to be discussing it with us this morning.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our base light product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Base light also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about base light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
For Earth Day this week, we were so pleased to feature ways that Wisconsin farmers are taking care of the planet every day. The work that they're doing can also keep the farm in business by generating revenue. As the supply chain looks to reduce its carbon emissions, farms can put a price tag on their carbon score. But first, they need to be able to measure it. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. The Professional Dairy Producers has launched a new tool for its members to be able to measure their carbon footprint and then use it as they please to either get into the carbon market or just tell their sustainability story. The tool is called Your Farm, Your Footprint. J.J. Pagel of Pagel's Ponderosa in Kewaunee County was one of the first farms to use this new service to get his carbon score. He recommends other farmers do the same.
We always thought that we were always doing really well, but we never really knew what it was. And that's always one thing we've always strived for, is just to try to do the best we can with what we have at all the time. So we knew we were doing things environmentally friendly and we were taking care of a lot of stuff. But at the same time, we were always left wondering, are we doing as good as we can be? And what are we missing? What should we be doing? So when we were able to do Your Farm, Your Footprint, it gave us the ability to get our score. But then the nice part was too, then after that, they gave us a list of things that we could do that could help lower our carbon footprint and even be better than we are today.
Yeah, Your Farm, Your Footprint, a new program with the Professional Dairy Producers that essentially tells you what your carbon score is. When did you get started with that, and how far has it come since?
Where it really got real for us was in around October, November, started getting all of our numbers and putting everything together. The nice part was it's all simple everyday stuff we use. So nutrient management plan from an agronomist, getting all our rations and everything from our nutritionist, you know, going through all our herd data, it's everything's on Dairy Comp. So getting a lot of that information was very easy for us. So it was very easy to take that, compute it in, and we sent it in, and I believe we had our results back within 15 to 20 days. At first, we were kind of apprehensive because we didn't know what our score was going to be, and we didn't know how much work it was going to take. And with everything we do, it was like, oh my God, this could take forever. And literally, with a couple people on our team, we got a couple hours into it, and we got all our information.
So what's your score?
According to the Cool tool, which is the one that looks at everything on a global scale, is we are 1.16 kilograms of carbon emissions. So basically, to put that into perspective, is that the average is somewhere around 2.6 to 2.8, I believe. So we're not all the way down to net zero yet, but we are on our way there, and we're very close to getting there.
Now that you know where you stand, What's next?
So a lot of it has to do with just becoming more efficient with what we have. So that's what a lot of it is. So it's something as simple as raising our milk production, trying to lower our energy uses, just recycling more, just becoming more efficient with what we have. And that's what our goals are going to be. And we're going to start there and start from there. We have been doing a lot of no-till. We've been doing a lot of cover crops. We've been doing a lot of minimum till. So these are things that we have been doing. And now we get to really see on how they act with our carbon footprint score.
So JJ, as you said, you've been investing in sustainability for a while. Were you happy with your score?
I was happy and I was surprised all at the same time, because with having a digester, with making renewable natural gas and all those other things, I had assumed that we were somewhere around that carbon zero, net zero area. So to hear that we are 1 point above, that we were a little high, but at the same time, we are well below the average. So we're very excited to know that.
JJ, you had already thrown out some numbers when you were speaking at the Professional Dairy Producers Business Conference. 352 dump trucks of soil saved every year. Is that something you got that you've been tracking all along, or did that also come out of this, Your Farm, Your Footprint?
So that was a number that we got from Your Farm, Your Footprint. So through the comment is one of the scores that you get for your farming practices, and through that report is where that number had come from.
So you've gotten a couple more impressive metrics that you can share, you know, to the community at large about the impact that your farm has.
Yeah, what I love about it is it puts it into terms that everybody can understand. When you talk about saving how much soil and saving 352 dump truck loads, that's a number everybody can understand, because we all see dump trucks every day. The equivalent of taking 686 cars off the road, we see cars every day. So those are things that people can equivalent, right? They can relate to those numbers because they see it every day. So when you drive through a small town, you just imagine that there's not a car on the street. And that's basically what it is. Nobody's driving through there today, right? That's how many cars are coming off the road. So that's how much emission or carbon emissions that we're sequestering out of the air. They're no longer going up into the atmosphere.
Advice for fellow dairymen. What is your advice for them today after doing this, Your Farm, Your Footprint?
I would like other dairy producers to empower themselves by taking advantage of this opportunity, because this is a farmer-driven, farmer-led initiative. It's not something that anybody's making us do. We're the ones driving the bus. We're the ones running the train here. So I'm out there telling everybody that get out there, know your farm, know your footprint, get your scores, and from there you can do a lot more with it. Without having a score, there's nothing more you can do about it, because, again, you can't manage what you can't measure. And until you have that measurement, until you have that score, there's nothing you can do with it. And having partners like Dairy Foundation, Nestle, and there's others that are looking at coming on board, there could be some financial return on this.
You can't manage what you can't measure. That's the word from J.J. Pagel of Pagel's Ponderosa in Kewaunee County. He used the new Your Farm, Your Footprint tool from Professional Dairy Producers to calculate his carbon score and set a goal to hit net zero carbon emissions. PDPW works with sustainable environmental consultants to get the calculation. Lead agronomist Carson Duggar worked directly with J.J. Pagel to gather all the right information. Carson tells us why knowing your carbon score is important in today's economy.
Yeah, so it's really about advocating for yourself. So for the past 10, 15 years, sustainability has been kind of a buzzword in agriculture, and farms have had their head in the sand about it, where it's like, I don't want to be part of the conversation. I don't want to know my number. I don't want to be, you know, maybe my farm isn't even sustainable. But through the Your Farm, Your Footprint initiative, we can empower farms to own their number, to come up with their number. And then also, you know, as we look in the future, we have a benchmark to where we can get better and get more sustainable on our farm and see where we've been so that we can see where we're going.
When you go out to the farm to calculate this number, what do you need? What are you looking for?
Any dairy farm is already going to have the data that we need to run these models on their farm. So it might be something like precision ag data. It might be dairy management software. It might be spreadsheets, and that's great. It also might be scribbled chicken scratch notes that you have. It might all be in your head, and that will work too. So every farm has the data, and through this program, you'll be able to work with an agronomist at Sustainable Environmental Consultants one-on-one so that we can find the data on your farm and kind of walk you through the process each step of the way.
What practices or what contributors impact your carbon footprint the most have you found?
Yeah, so we do quantification on a couple different sides of your operation, one on the dairy side and two on the field side. So on the dairy side, some of your biggest drivers are going to be your herd's enteric emissions and your manure management and your feed production. That feed production then goes to the field side of things, and we're really looking at crop rotation, what crops you're growing, if you do cover crops, and tillage are some of the big drivers there.
What have the anecdotal responses been so far from customers?
So we've had an 11-farm pilot already gone through this program. And it took a little bit. There's a little bit of skepticism at first, but once we got to the report out stage, there's a light bulb moment where they understood, oh yes, where these numbers are coming from, how we came at the conclusion, and then how I can use them for advocate for my farm.
Carson Duggar is the lead agronomist at Sustainable Environmental Consultants, or SEC. This is the group that's working with PDPW and heading out to the farm to calculate those carbon scores. Carson may be the face that comes to your farm if you choose to get involved in the Your Farm, Your Footprint. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the streets because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition. It's culture. It's food. It's beer. You know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Milwaukee is going to be taking farm equipment to the National Mall with the Capitol as a backdrop. Kurt Blades is the Senior Vice President of Agriculture for the Association of Equipment Manufacturers.
For the second time in the last 3 years, we're pleased to be hosting a celebration of modern agriculture on the National Mall. This really provides an opportunity for those of us in the ag industry to tell the story to lawmakers and policymakers and the general public about what is happening in modern agriculture and the difference that it's making in producing food and fiber and fuel for a growing world.
Kurt Blades, Senior Vice President of Agriculture for the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Now, you have to keep in mind that this is a big space with a lot of big influences.
Our first audience is an audience of about 50 to 200 people. And those are those folks that are really involved with writing public policies that are really impacting agriculture. The secondary audience is also very exciting, and that's the general public. That might be hill staffers or just general public. public that are walking through the mall. So we love to be able to tell those stories. Tractors and combines and pieces of equipment are pretty good eye candy and a pretty good way to lure people in to tell that story to an audience that is less and less informed than they have been in the past.
You know, what's pretty cool is it's not just about tractors and combines. It's about a lot of different farm equipment.
Well, first of all, the National Mall is a very big place. So if you've been there, you know we're talking football fields in length. And so we've got 25 different companies and 30 different associations representing various aspects of agriculture. And we'll have everything from sprayers and combines to small tractors to robotic milking to irrigation, all of the things that you see on a modern farm today. And the really interesting place of the backdrop of the nation's capital and Washington Monument.
Kind of cool. I can visually see it in my mind. You can physically see it coming up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the week of May 6th. They're going to have it open from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. Kurt Blades with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Stu Muck is along with us. I could see you driving some of that equipment up to the National Mall. This way, at least, you probably wouldn't get a ticket or put in jail.
Well, you'd hope so, at least. I know a couple of guys that love to trailer some stuff, too, you know.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I do think it's going to be pretty interesting. Hopefully the weather cooperates when they get it all out there. That's what everybody's kind of wondering about today, Stuart. It sounds like things could get a little dicey as the day wears on around Wisconsin.
Well, not too bad today. I mean, we even had some rain last night. I see a few reports here and there. 200ths of an inch at Fond du Lac, 100ths of an inch over at the Plymouth area, a little bit here and there, 500ths up at Ladysmith in the northwest. Just none of it too big. An initial front did slip on into Wisconsin. It's passing in from about the central part of the state, north central to southwest this morning. No precipitation. Most of it is pushed a lot further east, lower Michigan, eastern parts of the UP. There's some activity back in southern Iowa, northern Minnesota, and there is a secondary front that's going to follow through by later today. That's more likely when we talk about rain, showers, maybe even a thunderstorm mid and late afternoon into the nighttime, maybe a tenth of an inch or so. That's probably about all we'll talk about tomorrow morning as it passes. A bigger factor is mild air ahead of the system today, and we drop back to that frosty level close to freezing or below tonight. And again, for Wednesday night, early Thursday, could be kind of frosty and freezy, but then we see some warm up and another rain chance. In fact, late Thursday on into Friday, more measurable rains. I'm seeing up to some half-inch amounts or more as we head toward the weekend. I'll have the forecast details right after this.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Blaine's Farm and Fleet, the original, authentic, still family-owned since 1955. And from Farm First Dairy Cooperative, serving dairy farmers across the Midwest since 2013. Farm First Dairy Cooperative, member-focused, member-driven, member led. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Fabulous Farm Babe, on Instagram at Fab Farm Babe, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
We're changing it up on our next farm adventure east. I'm Pam Yonke. Come on along. We're going to Cape Cod, October 19th through the 26th, starting in Boston and visiting a nearby dairy, then out to Martha's Vineyards, where we'll find out about alpacas and experience a sand dunes adventure, plus cranberry production. They don't do it like we do. Visit holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam for more information and a travel video, or call 888-557-1024 brochure. That trip's about half sold out already. All right, let's talk weather, Stu. I see that my friends up in Alto said they only got about 0.04 inches of rain overnight. So like you said, not a lot that we gained overnight, but we might be gaining more later today.
Yeah, late today, tonight could be even more. Now, I know there were quite a bit of machinery moving around yesterday. I spent some time in Fond du Lac and Sheboygan County. A lot of grains going in, everybody working hard. Today, partly sunny skies, more windy, and that shower, even thunderstorm chance by mid and especially late afternoon. Temps into the upper 60s, 66 or so in the east, upper 60s in the west. Southwest winds will be a lot stronger, 10 to 20, gusting to 30. Rain early tonight ending, maybe even clearing late. Very low 30s or an upper 20 here or there tonight. Still gusting to 30. Sunny tomorrow, not too bad, but in the lower 50s, low to mid 50s, I guess. The north winds 5 to 10. Could be frosty again into Thursday morning, but sunny, low 60s, and the southeast winds 5 to 10. And by Friday, Pam, I think we'll talk about more rain and we'll watch our gauges.
All right. And you don't think any severe weather overnight, though?
No, I don't think so, but end of the week, we'll start talking about some half or even more. So,
ooh, okay.
Going to get wet.
All right, buddy. Talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.
All right, see ya.
Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, keeping you up to speed on what's going on with weather. We'll get you up to speed on what's going on with the market. Some pretty substantial gains in our dairy complex yesterday. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, steps to the microphone for that.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Berlow.
Are you making plans to honor Mother Earth? April 22nd is Earth Day, and it's a Wisconsin idea. Our Senator, Gaylord Nelson, created the day in 1970. It was his way of pushing environmental issues onto the national agenda. And many demonstrated in support. It worked. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency formed by December of that year. And today, Nelson's daughter, Tia, continues her dad's efforts. The Earth Day theme this year focuses on the use of plastics. It includes a reminder of the goal for a 60% reduction in the production of plastics by 2040. If you want to find a cleanup or education event to help during Earth Day week, or anytime, check earthday.org. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW. And on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Luke, I'm just going to say it again. The real problem here was that goofy in-season soccer tournament that they had. That threw everything
That's
off.
That's not... What are you talking about? That was December off. Basketball. You just couldn't figure out the rules,
You're exactly
Todd.
Right. There are goofy rules. I couldn't figure out. I don't like them.
You would not do well with driving on the left-hand side of the road.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely
you would just start freaking out.
Yeah.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mino and the Mayor.
We got Amanda here from the Howe Resource Center who fascinates me because she grew up as an Army brat, 4 different countries, 6 different bases.
Thanks, guys. You guys are such good supporters of everybody in this community. And the fact that you have this station that lets nonprofits, for profits, and just, it's just really great. And we really appreciate the support.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden goes to Tampa today to talk reproductive rights a week before Florida's 6-week abortion ban begins.
Biden campaign officials say he'll again blame former President Donald Trump for abortion bans since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. The Biden campaign says the president will draw a contrast to Trump, who they say is bragging about the role he played in appointing justices to the Supreme Court to overturn Roe. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
Testimony resumes today in Donald Trump's hush money trial. Former longtime National Enquirer publisher David Pecker expected to tell about his efforts to help Trump stifle unflattering stories during the 2016 campaign. In Becker County, northwest Minnesota, State Senator Nicole Mitchell is in custody on a burglary charge, arrested inside a home. Her connection to the homeowner not clear. Mitchell is a meteorologist who previously worked for the Weather Channel. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 12 law enforcement agencies around Wisconsin are splitting almost $2 million in opioid settlement funds. Wisconsin will get more than $750 million of the National Settlement Fund through 2038. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services says some initiatives will help keep opioid addicts out of jail or treat people already in jail. North America might be in for another smoky summer. Dr. Bruce Snyder is with the Health Professionals for a Healthy Climate. He says climate change is fueling hotter and drier summers, raising the risk of wildfires.
And when that happens, people have more respiratory disease, people have chronic lung disease, tend to get sicker. So there's a lot of downstream consequences.
And insects that carry disease thrive in warmer weather. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Playoff basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game 2 between the Bucks and the Pacers in Milwaukee. The Pacers trying to figure out how they lost Game 1 Sunday night. I spoke to forward Pascal Siakam.
Obviously, we see what, you know, was thrown at us, and we go and learn from it in terms of just like rotations and different things like that. But also, you know, mentally, it's just like they played harder than us in the first half. So, and I think it was clear as day when we came back in the second half. I thought it was a lot better.
The Bucks' Bobby Portis on winning Game 1 without Giannis.
Knowing our situation we're in, obviously we have one of the best players in the world who's not playing, so it was big for other guys to step up. The biggest thing in the playoffs is just winning the game, no matter how it is. If it's a street fight, if it's an ugly game, it's, you're hitting 23, however it gets done, the main thing is just to win. Come back tomorrow, correct some things, and then get back at it on Tuesday.
Baseball, the Brewers series in Pittsburgh continues. They lost last night 4-2 to the Pirates. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
A little sunshine this morning, then gradually becoming mostly cloudy with an isolated shower or thundershower possible by mid to late afternoon today. Our high 65, the wind out of the west at 15 to 25. Tonight, clear 32. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and cooler with a high near 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. U.S. government cybersecurity experts issued warnings April 17th to election and public officials to lock down computer systems and train staff in preparation for expected disinformation campaigns by Russia, China, and possibly Iran. The FBI Counterintelligence Division, Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence issued a joint 8-page report with the warnings and recommendations. The report cites recent efforts by Russia to create proxy media sites, which mix real news stories with stories using messaging to undermine confidence in elections and to plant stories among unsuspecting U.S. politicians and influencers. There is also evidence in Europe of Russian experimentation with AI-generated TV news anchors and AI voice cloning of politicians and public figures. The U.S. agencies recommend municipalities use only .gov website extensions to harden those sites and to distribute official information only through those locations. Multi-factor authentication for those sites should be implemented. For official social media accounts, the platform's highest security available is recommended. Security officials further recommend that election officials train not only their staff on what to look for, but teach voters to be smart about information sources and the sharing of false election information. We have the recommendations at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
It's what you desire. Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Busted Pencils.
We'll keep talking about it because it is an important thing happening in our world and in our culture, whether you're in education or in any field. It's part of your day-to-day right now. Like, hey, what's the role AI is going to play in this?
We give every assignment the kids turn in, we put it through AI detectors. There's no ability for a student to opt out of the surveillance.
Busted Pencils, weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Pam Yonke.
You can hear her clearly, even in a barn full of cows. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Hopefully we're going to hear him clearly later this half hour. John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, making his regular Tuesday visit. Stephanie Hoff's going to be joining us in just a moment, talking about the continued challenges a lot of rural communities in Wisconsin face trying to get access to broadband internet. Just a couple of the stories that we've got for you on a Tuesday. I'm Pam Yonke. Tickled to have you along with us. We're going to have to keep an eye on this developing weather situation for later today into the evening. It's going to be another gusty Tuesday around the state of Wisconsin, from La Crosse to Madison, central Wisconsin, down to the Milwaukee area. Winds today out of the west-northwest, 17 gusting over 20 miles an hour. Today's daytime highs a little cooler in the west, around 60 degrees in the La Crosse area. Madison should top out around 67, but then, like I said, we've got to keep an eye on what's going on in the southeast quadrant of the state. Possibility of maybe a little severe weather rolling in later tonight with some afternoon, evening thunderstorms on the way. So today is the 23rd day of April. What can I tell you? Actually, there's a lot of different tidbits I could share with you this morning. On this day back in 1934, the FBI raids the Little Bohemia Lodge in Manitowish Waters up in Vilas County. Why were they there? They were tipped off that the gangster John Dillinger was hiding out at Little Bohemia. During their raid, a civilian Conservation Corps worker was accidentally killed. Dylan, he got away. That raid took place on this day back in 1934. On this day in 1954, Hank Aaron, playing for the Milwaukee Braves at that time, hit his very first major league home run. 20 years later, he broke Babe Ruth's career home run record at 714. But the first one came as a Milwaukee Brave on this day in 1954. On this day in 1984, the discovery of the virus-causing AIDS is announced. Coca-Cola releases New Coke in 1985 and proceeded to reintroduce original Coke as Coca-Cola Classic after the New Coke flopped. On this day in 2005, the very first YouTube video was posted. It was from the San Diego Zoo, by the way. And happy birthday to documentary filmmaker Michael Moore. He turned 70. Valerie Bertinelli, 64. Wrestler actor John Cena is 47. And now you know. A lot of folks in rural Wisconsin don't know when they're going to finally get access to affordable broadband internet access. Rural communities really struggle, and as we're about to find out, that last mile in rural communities can be incredibly expensive to the cooperatives that are trying to get it there. Stephanie Hoff joins us now.
Marquette Adams Telephone Cooperative is one of those providers that has benefited from grant dollars to get internet service into homes. CEO Darren Moser says the grants have been critical to bridge the broadband gap.
Yeah, we've taken advantage of the grant process. When I did the counts, it looked like we had about 15 grants over the course of the last 5 to 7 years, and we've been able to bring in we've been able to do $21 million worth of, or almost $21 million worth of construction. And of that funding, about $12 million or $12.3 million has been from grants, and those have been come from the state, county. A lot of the state grant money actually was from federal grants through ARPA funding. So a lot of that funding has come down through the state and the counties and then down to the town and townships as well. So, you know, when I look over the course of the last several years, we've been able to pull in $12.4 million worth of grants. And then we've had to kick in additional, a little bit over $8 million ourselves, thereby getting the $20.4 million worth of construction into Wisconsin to get out to a number of different locations. We pass about 3,400 locations on that, so we get an average of about $6,200 a location. So you can see how costly this is to get out to these locations. So
would this not have been able to get done without these dollars?
No, the construction, our desire, our ability to push out into these areas that we weren't typically serving, we couldn't get into these areas without the grants. The cost models are just too expensive. Even when you figure at the average cost of $6,200 for what we've done so far, and those costs are going up as well. But you know, that takes several years before you get your investment back, and even several more before you get the operating costs back. And then after that, you can start looking at, is it returning on return on investment? So it's a long haul, and without these funds, that most of this construction would not get done.
What's the expensive part of putting in broadband infrastructure? Why is that pricey?
The most expensive part of it is the labor. It's very labor intensive. The actual facility, the fiber optic facilities themselves, the cable is not the main piece of the cost. It's the labor to put it in place, and it's just very labor intensive. We spent all summer building out 6 or 7 grants, just the mainline construction. It took us all year to do that. But contractors are at a premium right now. They're, you know, everything's at a premium. Inflation is hitting everything. But the biggest piece, obviously, is the construction or putting the facilities in the ground.
Can you give us a sense of how many homes you've brought high-speed internet to and the geography?
We passed about 3,400 locations through these grants. You know, this is, you know, you look at Marquette County and Adams County, which is the bulk of our area. It's very rural, very agricultural, a lot of recreational land as well. And so these are, I guess, primaries to get away from the hustle and bustle of the city life. Or if you're looking for quiet neighborhoods, this is a place to go. A lot of rural, a lot of farms as well, too. So we don't just do residents and businesses. We do farms. And interesting enough, we're working with many of our customers right now. For example, farmers are using a lot of our fiber for video monitoring and monitoring of their facilities and their structures. Students are learning they can do work from home and in homeschool. Mom and pops are learning they can actually start advertising a home business on the internet and do things like that. So a lot of things are starting to develop from this. Esports is beginning to really take off as well, too. So, you know, this rural area, and despite that fact, you know, these locations, you know, they want access to the same information that everybody else does, and by having the high-speed internet there, it's going to allow them that access and allow them to do the things that they can't do without it.
Darren Moser along with us. He's the CEO of Marquette Adams Telephone Cooperative. They've been recipients of millions of dollars in grant money to expand broadband in rural communities. He says the support from the state and federal level has been critical in making these connections. And he says it's allowed farm businesses and students to thrive in rural areas. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Thanks, Stephanie. Just curious how many of you tuning in today have access to high-speed rural broadband. Be happy to have your thoughts. Use our Midwest Farm Report talk text line and let us know where you're at, if you've got access, if you're happy with it, that type thing. It might be interesting to paint a picture on how our audience is impacted by this very story. That talk text line, in case you don't have it, 877 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Well, Wisconsin farmers were delayed a little bit by the wet and windy weather we've had over the past 7 days' time. The latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service shows as of Sunday, we had about 19% of our oats already in the ground. That's 5 days ahead of last year. 25% of our potatoes were planted. That's 1 week ahead of last year. 22% of our spring tillage is done. With the precipitation, our pasture conditions improved. 37% now called good to excellent. Winter wheat ratings also went up. 82% good to excellent there as far as our statewide conditions. It was a big day yesterday for dairy. Barrel cheese gained 11 cents at 177. 40-pound block cheese was up 8 at 176. AA butter up 8 at $3 even. This morning, December corn is 2.5 cents higher, 475. November soybeans are up about a nickel right now at 1176. The July wheat, that's currently up 13 cents at 601 a bushel. The May class 3 milk that goes into cheese, that's down 8 right now at 1830. The June class 3 milk down 9 at 1845 a hundredweight. Coming up next, we'll find out what drove those increases in our dairy complex. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, stepping in next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW. And on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Luke, I'm just going to say it again. The real problem here was that goofy in-season soccer tournament that they had. That threw everything
That's
off.
What are you talking about? That was December basketball. You just couldn't figure out the rules.
You're exactly
Todd.
Right. There are goofy rules I couldn't figure out. I don't like them.
You would not do well with driving on the left-hand side of the road.
Oh, absolutely not.
You would just start freaking out.
Yeah.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it. Unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny.
I wonder what Matt Damon's mom would say when it comes to teaching science to little kids.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
And there she is, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Welcome to Busted Pencils. Nancy, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's great to see you. It's great to be here.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor in the morning and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Figures come out. 7 of the 24 major dairy producing states managed to see an increase in milk, but that's not the majority. What's going on with dairy? Why the sudden rally?
Well, first off, you know, we had to go back to the HPAI story. I think that put some negative selling pressure into that market. Probably took the market cheaper than it needed to go as we got down to those low, you know, mid-15s in terms of that front month May contract here. Then we got a good turn in the cheese market. We saw, low prices cures low prices sometimes when demand picks up. And we've seen a nice 30-cent rally in the cheese side of the equation. And that's just helped pull this milk price right back up. Plus, again, just throw the money flow in there. And now we've put together, realistically, since the low, about a $2.75 rally in milk prices, maybe peaking out with the action yesterday. We'll have to see. Now, milk production report did come out. March milk production down 0.9% from last year. Biggest thing, though, I'm looking at those cow numbers. You know, we're basically 71,000 head down from last year at 8.8 million head. So that combination of things has, you know, tightened up the supply chain here at the end of the winter going into the springtime window. You know, again, milk market is extremely volatile. I think we're trying to find a middle point here from the bottom, from a, you know, the first of the month of where we were yesterday. This is going to stay volatile. I think it's an opportunity for producers to get some prices locked in here, as this market might be just trying to find some equilibrium with the volatile moves that we've seen.
Absolutely. John Heinberg, market advisor, along with us. Don't forget his website, totalfarmmarketing.com. You want to talk to John about those risk management tools, you can do that as well. That toll-free number is 800-334-9779, 800-334-9779. John, I want to pivot, kind of go to another subject we discussed last week. You talk about a volatile market. One market that has gotten just crazy is cocoa. Now, granted, we don't grow it in Wisconsin, but a lot of us are very familiar with cocoa. What's going on there? Teach me a little something this morning.
Well, everybody talks about the great markets that are out there and NVIDIA stock and Bitcoin and things of that nature. Well, I hate to say this, the number one market in terms of volatility this year has been cocoa. It has outpassed its growth points over those other two markets I mentioned. Cocoa has just been basically on a rocket ship here. We had the May contract break the $12,000 barrier per pound the other day. And that just tells you how massive this market has moved. A year ago, we're trading 2,700. What's going on? The Ivory Coast or West Africa produces about two-thirds of the world's cocoa supply that comes out of that region, and they are looking at multi-year lows. In fact, the Ivory Coast, number one producer of the cocoa bean, is down production-wise basically about 20% year-over-year due to poor weather as well as disease concerns. Ghana, the number two producing country, is looking at a forecasted 22-year low in terms of its production, and that has just sent this market parabolic, as obviously end users are looking for supply, and then throw in the momentum and the speculators that have piled into this market. So now we may have finally hit our peak here at this 12,000 window. Now I've thought that a couple times, and we hit 9,000, 10,000, and 11,000, but we saw some pretty aggressive price action the last couple of days, taking some money off the table. And sometimes when you get big volatile swings at the top or bottom of a market, it tells us maybe we're getting to our, you know, to that point where this thing is ready to peak out or bottom out. So it's very interesting to see how aggressive a market can go, and when we get in those situations, and how that money can pour in and just push a price well past probably where it needs to go.
Well, and this helps to explain to many of our consumers, I bet we've seen that reflected in price of chocolate, price of some of our baked ingredients, huh?
It's a little more of a lag, but yes, we obviously have seen some things come into play, and we will still see some things come into play down the road. But, you know, we just got through Easter, which is one of the bigger, you know, cocoa holidays in terms of chocolate usage. You also saw just recently too, Kit Kat's announced releasing a half-dipped bar in terms of its candy bar, maybe somehow time to reflect the prices, or you might see a little thinner coating on some of the candy bars that come into play as they try to manage the cost that comes down the pipeline to them. So, but at this time frame, at least, you know, we're starting to see that impact. It's something that's going to carry out. Now, we're not seeing any changes in production as forecasts going into next year are still going to be very, very depressed, you know, in that region. So that's just going to be something we have to watch about. But it's, you know, to me, if you put an equivalent, it'd be like United States and Brazil having a drought conditions raising corn or soybeans back-to-back years combined. And that's what we're looking at in the cocoa market.
Is there, I'm ignorant to cocoa, I will confess at the outset, is there any other region that's growing cocoa, or is it only those two?
Realistically, that's the whole country. That area of West Africa is the major producer, you know, in terms of world cocoa beans. You know, on top of just the weather concerns and the issues that we deal there, you do also have geopolitical as well as those type of issues that come into play. You know, even the fifth largest cocoa producer in the world is Nigeria. They're looking at a major drop of about 18% year over year in terms of their exports. So it's pretty much a regionally based type crop that is being affected by, again, weather and disease these pressures that have just tightened up the supplies, and we're going to see that come down the pipeline to us as the consumer down the road.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, joining us this morning. Going a little different route than our corn bead cows. How about cocoa this morning? And as we said, whether it's cocoa or whatever you need, go to totalfarmmarketing.com. That's our website. You want to talk to John, 800-334-9779. 800-334-9779. Too bad that cocoa can't take some of our dairy with it to the higher elevations, huh?
It'd be nice to see, but, you know, we've had a couple of good days in the markets in general here, so we'll have to see if this money flow can continue here.
Yeah, milk, chocolate, two different things, two different directions on the pike. All right, my friend, thank you very much, John. We'll catch up with you again next week and find something equally entertaining to keep our farmer and non-farmer audience engaged, all right?
Sounds good. Have a great week.
All right. John Heinberg joining us live this morning again. Like I said, totalfarmmarketing.com is the website. And again, I'm taking your comments on do you have high-speed internet? Are you hooked up? Got a nice text from Alto this morning. Said they just got hooked up to fiber optic in Alto, Wisconsin. Went from 20 megabytes to over 900 with that fiber optics. Let me know what's happening in your backyard, or maybe not. The talk text line is 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Let me know. Are you on that last mile of rural broadband? Have you been hooked up yet? Are you on the waiting list? What kinds of use are you putting to the internet? Love to hear from you. Talk text line 877-301-FARM.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
U.S. dairy farms amp up biosecurity to deal with high-path avian influenza. Stay tuned for Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for Rizol from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Even very biosecure livestock facilities can be at risk for bird flu outbreaks. Karen Jordan is a veterinarian, a North Carolina dairy farmer, and chair of the National Dairy Farm Program's Animal Care Task Force. As all dairies are not the same, Jordan says, biosecurity approaches are not the same as well.
You've got to have biosecurity that makes sense for that organism, and also that makes sense for how we're trying to continue to keep milk on the shelves for people and how we're trying to protect the welfare of our animals. You've just got to have a really big picture and what makes sense for your farm.
Jamie Jonker is Chief Science Officer for the National Milk Producers Federation.
All of those farms that have been affected have been doing a fantastic job of doing the right thing for their cows and for public safety by keeping that milk out of the commercial system. So it's really been an all hands on deck. We're learning a lot of things as this goes on. And again, just reemphasizing, it's really helping, I think, the dairy sector look at what should the biosecurity on our farms look like in the 21st century.
Both Jonker and Jordan were featured in a recent episode of the Dairy Defined podcast from the NMPF. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Mino
and the mayor.
Terry Barr.
Yes.
From Slice of Wisconsin is standing by. Hi, Terry.
Hi, guys.
How are you, Terry?
I feel like I should be a referee right now.
Sorry to keep you waiting.
Should have been here an hour and a half ago.
Absolutely, when it was really hot.
Oh, no.
Right.
A little
blood on the floor, but we're okay.
Yeah, we're okay.
We got a cleaning crew here.
Good. Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheese Ball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.